Though my mother would use gentler words, I was an annoying child. I wanted to ask questions about everything. Why? How? What? Everything. And then, once I'd heard those answers, I then wanted to share every answer I had ever learned with everyone who would listen. Did you know? Guess what I found out? Constantly. I was always ready to insert myself into groups of people older than me, and you'll just have to trust me on this, I never stopped talking. My parents were highly accommodating, and they sought to offer me answers and give me a world of experiences. But there was another part of my family who also loved me, but was also very comfortable calling it like it was and telling me how they felt about things. You see, my cousins were as honest as they were caring, and they were both. They would let me be a part of things, and when it was time, they would tell me to leave, they would tell me to quit talking, or my favorite, why don't you go look it up in a book? None of their responses ever actually bothered me, though. In fact, there was something refreshing about knowing that they would get rid of me before I ruined my chances of coming back. It was sort of a good understanding of boundaries there. As I became an older cousin over time, I too tried to hold that balance of love and honesty, right? Making space so people can be there, but also setting some boundaries with the younger cousins of, okay, yeah, you can go now. The reason I was thinking about cousins this week is because after Mary and Joseph, the family relationship of Jesus we know the most about in our scriptures is his cousin, John. John is a cousin, well, John as a person was, what's a polite word? Unique. John was unique. He was the kind of cousin that, well, there's one in every family, two in mine. He wandered around the desert wearing camel skins, eating locusts and honey, telling people to repent. Since their moms were close, Mary and Elizabeth, Jesus and John had to have spent time together as children. And so Jesus had to have grown to appreciate the uniqueness that was his cousin John. And in all fairness, I'm sure that Jesus was rather unique as well. And John had learned to appreciate the uniquenesses of, well, the Son of God. So, as they would spend time growing up, that relationship was very important for the relationship they would share as adults. You see, when word got around to Jesus that John was out there throwing water on people, Jesus got interested. And so he went to see his cousin. The Gospel of Mark puts it this way. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from all the Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to see him. And they were baptized by John in the River Jordan after confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he was eating locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I am shall come after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. I've baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Today we remember and celebrate Jesus' baptism. It's actually this moment in our scriptures, it's this moment in the life of Jesus that makes baptism a sacrament for the church. Protestants have two sacraments, communion and baptism. These acts of communion and baptism, they're set apart from other activities in the life of the church. Other activities being meaningful, being powerful, being symbolic, but these two, baptism and communion, are set apart as a special kind of sacred because they're the only two that Jesus himself participated in. In our tradition, especially in our congregation, baptism is a symbol of God's love for each and every life. It symbolizes new life and rejuvenation and healing, and it symbolizes the joy that God brings into our lives through grace. We talk about baptism being an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. It's something we can see that reminds us of all the many things we can't see. If you were baptized, I invite you to take a moment this morning to remember your baptism, or at least the stories you've been told about it. Remember your baptism and be grateful. If you haven't been baptized, I invite you to talk with me about it. Let's talk about making it a part of your journey. No, I will not hold you in my arms and carry you around the congregation. There is an entirely different script for baptizing adults. John the Baptizer invited people into the water to remind them that their lives were in need of something more. Our scripture phrases it, he was baptizing them for repentance and forgiveness of sins. Repentance literally means turning around. And forgiveness figuratively means loving even after mistakes. So John was using these waters to invite people to turn their lives around and experience love even after their mistakes. I like that. I like that. So Jesus hears that this is what John is doing. According to our scriptures, the entire state knows what John is doing. Did you hear about the guy with the camel hair and the honey and the locusts? Yeah, let's go see that. So Jesus goes to see his cousin. Now, John had been anticipating Jesus, but in a bigger sense, not in a, oh, you're coming on Thursday kind of anticipation, but a, lo, he shall come and redeem us all kind of anticipation. John was telling people over and over that one more important than he was coming. He spoke with great anticipation about all that Jesus would do. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals." So when Jesus showed up at the river, John was beside himself. I mean, not worthy to untie his sandals, which, by the way, was a real job back then. It was one rung above foot washer on the ladder of awful jobs. Believing what John believed about Jesus, I cannot imagine the excitement and the energy of that moment. He's here. He came to check out what's going on. He's such a big deal. This is amazing. Here was Jesus, the one who would bring the Holy Spirit, standing on the banks of the river. I mean, they've had this connection their whole lives, this special relationship. I don't remember in Advent, we talked about that scripture when John and Jesus were still in utero. Their moms got together to hang out, and the Bible says that John leapt for joy even being in the room with his cousin in one belly and him in the other. That's how much connection they had. I can only imagine the backflips John is doing now. But then, Jesus asks to be baptized. I just see John mid-handspring. Wait, what? The Gospel of Mark only implies the awkwardness of this moment. I mean, having mentioned the whole not worthy to untie your sandals thing, we can assume that John would have some reservations about the whole, hey, John, baptize me thing. But we don't just have to guess. The Gospel of Matthew also has an account of this story. And it plays out a little bit more of the family drama. Then Jesus came from Galilee to see John at the Jordan to be baptized. John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to have me do this for you? But Jesus answered him, let it be so right now. It's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. John outright tells Jesus no. No. I mean, that whole, dude, look, I know what's up, and you're a big deal, and I'm not a big deal, and you're asking me, this is where the cousin relationship becomes especially telling for me. I would like to imagine that as cousins, the two of them could be as honest as they were caring. John honestly held great respect for his cousin and cared about receiving blessings from him. So I venture he honestly cared that since he'd said so many things about Jesus, It would look really weird to have Jesus act like everybody else, right? There's this great crowd, and he's saying, Jesus is a big deal, bigger than me. And then Jesus shows up and is just wanting to be like everybody else. And the crowd's like, John, I thought you said, and now he... Really, John? What's up with this? But Jesus wouldn't let John go there. Though the scripture said it in some fancier words, Jesus says this, John, we'll get into all of that, but let me help everyone see that what you are doing matters. I want to be a part. So Jesus walks into that stream and gets baptized by John. And as he comes up out of the water, his dad sends him a message. Oh, that's God dad, not Joseph dad. God has something important to tell Jesus. In fact, the scripture doesn't specify if anyone else could see or hear what happened. It says that Jesus saw the sky opened and heard the voice. And that voice tells Jesus that God is well pleased. You are my son, the beloved, and with you I am well pleased. Pleased with what? Jesus hasn't really done anything yet. I mean, not that's written in our scriptures. I mean, in the Bible, he goes from being born. I would say Mary is the one we should be well pleased with in that situation. To getting dedicated in the temple, to receiving gifts from the Magi, and suddenly he's 30 years old in our scriptures. The only time we have a childhood story is in one of the Gospels where Jesus gets lost and doesn't listen to his parents, and I doubt God was well pleased with that situation. So what is God so pleased with? The answer is right in front of us, for Jesus at least. God is pleased with his baptism. Not merely the water or the words. God is pleased that Jesus decided to get baptized. I doubt Jesus had anything to repent. I doubt Jesus had anything to turn away from, needed forgiveness or loved being in spite of. He didn't need to be baptized for those reasons. But Jesus knew he needed to be baptized for different reasons. In choosing to be baptized, Jesus was acknowledging John. Jesus was acknowledging John's ministry. Jesus was validating the identity and the calling of someone much of the world thought was crazy. Jesus, who was far more qualified and capable to convert God's, or to convey God's blessings and forgiveness and spirit. Jesus, who was so well equipped to do that work, wasn't concerned with his own abilities. He saw something in John. He saw passion. He saw possibility. He saw promise. And Jesus decided to honor that. In choosing to step into the waters and be baptized by John, Jesus was acknowledging and supporting what John had to share. He was validating what John loved. He was as honest as he was caring. Not because they were cousins, because Jesus wanted us to know that that is how all people should be treated. The world around us is filled with people who are filled with passion and possibility, and promise. Many of whom don't even know it's there anymore because the world has told them no so many times. People who question their ability, who feel like they might only be shoe tires in this world. And one of the very first things Christ does in his ministry, one of the first actions he does as this symbol of life that God offers us, the first thing Jesus does is to create a space for people just like that to share what they love and to know they're important. When Jesus does that, God is well pleased. Might we not do the same? Amen.